Welcome to Final Score with the Score. Chelsea 1, Leicester 0. Chelsea got up to fourth in the Premier League. A clean sheet with Robert Sanchez in goal, which is a rare event. And a 1-0 win, which is our first 1-0 win for quite a long time. I need to check that. But yeah, another win. We go up to fourth. And yeah, a bit of a relief in the end because we should have had about three or four penalties in that game and we only had one and missed it. But we got the job done. Clean sheet, goal from Cucurella. And yeah, we got up to fourth. And Bournemouth have just dropped points as well, which is a good thing for Chelsea. And so, yeah, it's a good day for Chelsea. Welcome, Rambles. Good to have you here again.
Afternoon, guys.
Just your first thoughts on the game.
I'm kind of like torn because one part of me is happy that we won. Obviously, other results have gone our way. But then the other side is, says, you know, it's just nowhere near good enough what we're watching, what we're producing and what's being allowed to happen at the football club. You know, that wasn't a good performance this afternoon. And a better team gets something out of that game. We're lucky Leicester aren't really up to much at the minute.
Yeah, fair points. Chelsea, just to look at the match stats, Chelsea had 56% possession, 20 shots and 7 on target. And we had 3 penalties not given, which I think at least 2 of those were penalties. The referee was abysmal today. We'll talk about that a bit later. But you're right. I mean, it wasn't, you know, the football was not exciting. It wasn't enjoyable to watch. It was slow. It was turgid. You know, we didn't have any energy, you know, and that's been a problem for a while. Yeah, we'll talk about a lot of this coming up. We're going to talk about some other stuff as well later on, as usual. We're going to talk about Enzo Maresca in more detail and the manager and what it means to be manager of Chelsea. We're going to talk about John Terry's comments recently. We're going to talk about those things later on. But we're going to talk about the game first. And so I think we better start with the Rambles rant and Rambles rave.
Yeah, I could have easily gone for a rant about several players, but I've decided to go for a rave about Cucurella.
Yep, the goal scorer.
Yeah, I just love Cucurella. I mean, he had a very difficult start to his Chelsea career. You know, he's just a prime example of, you know, he didn't let it bother him. He just got down, worked hard, and now he's one of the first names on the team sheet. And I just love the passion and the energy he brings to the team. And I'd say at the current moment, he's arguably the best left back in the league.
I think there's a good case for that. I mean, Lewis Hall's having a really great season as well, was till he got injured. But yeah, those two, I think you're right. I mean, Cucurella's been great for the last 12 months now. He's been really good. He was great at the Euros. He was the best left back at the Euros, won the Euros. And again, today he was great. Apparently the fans were cheering for him as well at the ground, which was really great to see, especially given the stick he used to get. And you know, he deserves a lot of credit for how he's turned it around at Chelsea.
And I think he's a prime example for players to look at because sometimes when you move to a club for big money, you do take a while to settle in. You know, you can have difficulties, and I think fans put extra pressure on players when they come with a big price tag. They expect them to hit the ground running straight away. And Cucurella is just an example of not letting any outside noise get to him, just working hard. And he's really turned his Chelsea career around. And he, as you say, he's won all the fans over now.
That's right. And he's going to become a cult hero, I think. And, you know, it's clear that he's got a lot of passion in his game. He's a fighter. You know, you've got to have character to come back from the start he had at Chelsea and the abuse he was getting.
And I get the impression like he's really well liked within the camp. You know, he brings like an energy to the.
Yeah, I think he's one of the more experienced players as well in the team, which really really helps. I think he's probably one of those more experienced players who helps the younger players. I love him. I think he's fantastic and. He's been pretty consistent. He's becoming like an Aspilicueta kind of at left back. Just 7 out of 10 every week, you know, always consistent. Doesn't really have a bad game. Does the job. And today mean, the goal was fantastic. A really great strike.
As one of my friends said, it was like a Marcus Alonso kind of finish.
It was. It reminded me of Marcus Alonso, yeah. Absolutely. He scored a goal just like that against Spurs once, I think.
He did, yeah.
Stamford Bridge. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was fantastic. And it needed something like that because, you know, we weren't looking like, you know, breaking through. But got the win. Now, what did you think of the team that Maresca picked today?
The two issues, well, two, possibly three issues. Sanchez, I wasn't happy with Sanchez in goal, and he made a clanger in the first half. You know, I don't think he should be anywhere near starting lineups. I would have liked to have seen Achimpong play at right back, because I do get frustrated when game after game we're seeing centre-backs playing right back, centre-backs playing left back. I think the team looks much better balanced when you have players in their natural position.
Yeah.
I know we are light in the forward areas, but again, Nkunku playing up front, you know, a lot of it is his fault, but Nkunku, he's just offering nothing, sadly. He's pretty much non-existent in a lot of the games he plays.
Yeah, and I don't think he should be playing as a nine at all.
No.
I don't know why Neto isn't playing as a nine. He was playing really well as a nine. But he had a decent game. I thought Neto had a decent game. He created some chances. But again, we haven't got a nine in the box to finish them. That's part of the problem. And we talked about how we need a nine. And you're right about Sanchez. I couldn't believe it when he was picked. I almost didn't notice it because I was so excited about Wesley Fofana coming back into the team that I just didn't even notice that Sanchez was the goalkeeper. And then I realised, I was like, oh my gosh. And you're right, in the first half, there was... It's so frustrating when he's in the team because you just...
He just doesn't feel you have any confidence regardless of the opposition because you always are... You know, it just any moment he could do something which will lead to a goal. Or not.
I'm actually staggered. We got a clean sheet today. Like I am actually staggered. That's our first clean sheet. When's our, for a while? We'll have to have a look at that. We'll have to have a look and see when our last clean sheet was, and when our last 1-0 was as well. We'll check that out. Maybe come back to that later in the show. But the pen and the other thing I wanted to talk about related to the game was. The referee, the penalty decisions. What did you make of those penalty decisions?
Again, I find myself saying the same thing, no matter who I watch play, you know, every game, you leave the game speaking about decisions which one team didn't get or the other team didn't get. And the officiating in this country is at an all-time low.
It is. I mean, to me, at least three of those were absolute clear-cut penalties. I mean, I can't really say that any more clear. You know, I think it was patently obvious that the first one was a penalty, and the second one would need that. Well, the one which Palmer missed was a penalty, obviously, and then the Neto one. I mean, like, gosh, I mean, how do you not give that as a penalty? You know, it's just unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, the standard of refereeing just keeps getting lower and lower and lower. And the last 1-0 we had in the Premier League was Bournemouth in September. The last time we had a clean sheet was actually Southampton. So we've had two clean sheets in a row now. That's actually pretty good. Wow, gosh, my word. Those things are happening at Chelsea. You know, two consecutive clean sheets. What the hell is going on? You know, but the result, you know, we're fourth in the Premier League. Just looking at the table, Bournemouth drew with Spurs today from 2-0 up. So that's good for us. We're now fourth with 49 points, 2 points above City, 3 points above Brighton, 4 points above Aston Villa, who've played a game more than us, and five points above Bournemouth, and 5 points above Newcastle, who have a game in hand. So we're in a decent position, and, you know, obviously we've got a nice easy game next week against Arsenal, which should be fun. I have no idea what's going to happen in that game now, but, But, you know, we got the two wins from the two games that we had to win, really, these last two games, and we didn't concede a goal. You know, so that's nice. Nice to get into the habit of keeping clean sheets again, actually. I just don't know why Sanchez played today. I just don't know why Sanchez played. Yeah, we're in a decent position. So there's some things to be positive about. And that's, you know, lots of work still to do. 10 games to go. Okay. So we're going to get into, talking about Enzo Maresca. But first, I want to just talk about, Chelsea Echo, a Twitter account, you know, make sure you give that a follow. Great content on there. There's great post-match content. All great people on there. So really do make sure you give that a follow. Hopefully we'll be getting Louis here later. He's been at the game today. So hopefully we'll be getting him and some other people here later as well to talk about what we're just about to talk about, which I think is an important topic, which is Enzo Maresca. And this isn't really about the game today in particular. It's really more a general conversation about how he's doing, you know, whether he should stay, what his style of football is. Is it suited to Chelsea? And so on. But I know that Rambles has a little rant about Enzo Maresca. So we're going to start the conversation with that. So tell us that, Rambles.
My rant was with the team selection today. I can't understand why, one, he brought Sanchez back in. When I think he said, was it last week, the week before, that Jorgensen was the number one. And I can't understand the lack of game time that Achimpong's getting, especially when you've got injuries in the right back area.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Achimpong should be playing more. He absolutely should be playing in the Conference League, we're absolute certain. And I think he could have played today, 100%. He came on, didn't he, right at the end, but I mean, no, that's not a start, is it? I mean, he needs to start games. And the weird thing is that Enzo Maresca was actually given starts to other academy players. He, you know, Tyreek George played the full 90 minutes, against Copenhagen. So it's not like he's averse to using academy players. But, I think the only thing I can think of with this is that he wants to play experienced centre backs. When he's in a bit of a bad run, just to get us, and when we need to win games. And that's what managers tend to do. They tend to go for experience. Most managers do, tend to go for experience when they're in a bit of a bad run, and that's what he's done. How we are getting our centre-backs back now, you know, we're getting Badia Shield back. Wesley Fofana started today. I think he made a difference to us. I thought he was good. Good run out for him, and he'll play next week against Arsenal. You're right about Josh Achimpong. I mean, that's ridiculous. And Robert Sanchez, I mean, I've given up at this point, just like fearing out how he gets in the team, because he shouldn't be playing at all in any game.
I have to be honest on Enzo, and I mean, I'm not one of these people who likes to call out the manager and says the manager should be under pressure, but I'm really torn on whether I think, is Enzo the right person to take us forward? Because there is a part of me which says, you know, once certain players come back from injury, once we get a few better players in during the summer, things could improve a lot. But then I watch our style of play and I'm just like, is this really the guy to take us forward? So I'm really kind of torn on the Enzo situation.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I like Enzo Maresca. I think he's a good coach. I think tactically he's good. And he's made an effort to connect with the fans, which Pochettino didn't do. He's come to fans after games. He's clapped the fans, everything like that, which is important. I think he understands the assignment. He understands this is Chelsea Football Club and he wants to be here. In the first half of the season, we were brilliant, and I really loved watching us. And, you know, but it's just this last, it's not even the last 2 months, it's the last month, because the football in the last month has suddenly become slower and, you know, more tedious and more predictable and not really enjoyable to watch. And, you know, people are wondering whether it's just the real Enzo Maresca, or is this just a tactic that he's employing because players are tired, or, you know, or to break down low blocks or whatever. Like, we don't really know. But But certainly it is frustrating to watch at the moment. And even when we win, you know, it's not really, I mean, I don't care how we win generally. If it's 1-0 and, you know, we keep a clean sheet, whatever, like, and it's not that enjoyable, fine. We've got the points. That's the most important thing. But, you know, if it's like all the time, you know, and it's never entertaining anymore, you know, fans get restless. It only takes one bad result when you're playing like that for fans to turn, and fans want something to get excited about, you know. So I, you know, and he has had injuries, which you've got to say that, to be fair to him, Fofana being injured, Lavia being injured, you know, Reece James was injured for a while, Nicholas Jackson's been out, you know, and he's a big player for us. You know, although we've done pretty well without him, to be fair. We've won 3 Premier League games without him. So, you know, that's not too bad. I've only got one more game until he comes back, I think, because he's back in April. And then after next week, it's the international break, so we don't play again until April. So, yeah, but you're right. I mean, it's a difficult one because, you know, I mean, we're in the top four, you know. I mean, we're in a Champions League place. 5th is probably going to be Champions League, and we're 4th. And that was really the target this season, you know. And if he gets Champions League, then he'll keep his job. I mean, then it would be unfair to get rid of him if we do get Champions League football. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of the debate that I want to talk. What I want to explore is what is it that makes a good Chelsea manager? What do fans want in a Chelsea manager? And I want to get your views as well. If you're listening, we want to get your requests. We want you to talk about as well what your thoughts are on Enzo Maresca, what you think of him as a manager, whether you think he should stay or go at the end of the season, you know, or if he gets Champions League. We want to hear your views. This is your show. And I know there's a lot of you there, some good people there as well. And we've got Nicholas, who's a good guy, Sam, Deeds. You know, if anyone's got something to say, please do request. As long as you're respectful and polite, you'll be all welcome here and we'll let you up. So, do get requesting. We want you to be involved in this conversation because it's something that affects all of us as Chelsea fans. And we've all got views on it, and it's good to get different perspectives when you're having a debate about this kind of thing. And I know a lot of fans care about the manager and the manager's position and all of that. So it's something that's important to talk about. So do make sure you request, and we'd love to get your views. Hopefully we're getting somebody, I think Sam might be coming soon, hopefully, but he's not here quite yet, but when he is, I'll get him up. But if you want to speak, please do request. We'd love to get you up. Just going back to that conversation, like, what do you think makes a good Chelsea manager? What are the essential qualities that a Chelsea manager needs? And not just football wise, but in terms of personality, mentality, character, all that kind of thing.
I think for me, I like to see a manager who's versatile tactically, someone who doesn't just stick to a plan A, but, you know, they can have a plan B or a plan C. So if plan A is not working or you've got one or two injuries, you can switch to a plan B or a plan C. So not just one system, one, two, possibly three systems you can use throughout the season. And I also like a manager who gives youth opportunities as and when possible. Obviously, we know when you're managing a big six club, there are certain expectations. You can't just go around throwing in youth willy-nilly. You've got to do it when the circumstances are right. But I want to see the best academy players being given opportunities as and when possible. And I think also I want someone who just connects with the fans, someone who makes an attempt to build a connection with the fans. Because I think in recent years, we had Pochettino, who made very little effort to connect with the fans. And we also had Mauricio Sarri. I don't think he really connected with the majority of the fans. Obviously, you had a small section who absolutely loved Sarri, but I don't think he really connected with the wider fan base.
Yeah, I think Sarri connected with a little group of fans on Twitter. But he didn't really connect with the fans at the stadium, and he didn't really make an effort to either. And, you know, he won the Europa League, he finished third. So football wise, he didn't do badly, but it was the style of play. It was, you know, it was predictable, and he had no charisma whatsoever. Didn't really endear himself to the fans. And that is, those are the intangible things that a Chelsea manager, I think, needs. you, like you say, they've got to be passionate. They've got to understand the fans' mindset. They've got to talk the winning game, right? They've got to talk about, we're Chelsea, we're here to win, you know. I mean, like Thomas Tuchel probably gave a masterclass in how to endear yourself to Chelsea fans in his first press conference, you know, on his first interview. Because he said when he thinks about Chelsea, he thinks about winning trophies, winning titles. That was, you know, and he said he was happy to be part of the Chelsea family, how much he respected Frank Lampard, all of those things were in his first couple of interviews, right? And so, you know, he made the perfect connection with the fans straight away. You know, and that was not easy to do because Frank Lampard, we all know, is a Chelsea legend, and he'd just been sacked. So anyone who followed him was gonna be in trouble to connect after that. But Tuchel made it look easy, you know, and that was really just a masterclass in connecting with Chelsea fans, I think. But you're right about that.
I think the last time I really enjoyed Chelsea going to games. I think the best atmosphere in recent years has been under Conte. I just think the atmosphere was so good in Conte's first season. And, you know, every time we score a goal, you know, you'd often see Conte running into the crowd, running down the touchline. And I think that was the last time for me when I thought the club and the fans were really connected. Because I think once Conte went and Sarri came in, I noticed a big divide within the Chelsea fan base. And that's gradually got bigger and bigger and bigger as the seasons progress.
Yes, it's still there. That divide on, you know, we should play tactico, pep ball, you know, positional play, all that. And fans that just want, you know, soak up the pressure, hit teams on the counter attack, high octane football, more like Klopp football, basically. You know, the high intensity, high energy, high press, attacking football, which gets your bums off your seats, you know, and it's enjoyable to watch, right? I think that's the football that most Chelsea fans want to see. But certainly the football that I prefer to see. But ultimately I'm happy if Chelsea are winning. You know, if Maresca stays here and we keep playing this football, but we win the Premier League with this football, fine. I don't care. We won the Premier League. the style of football is the most important thing is winning. And, you know, some clubs talk about Chelsea's football philosophy for me is winning. But that's in the last 25 years, that's what it's been. You know, since even before Abramovich, you know, from the Vialli era, you know, that was, we started winning trophies all the time. And that's been the club culture really ever since, is winning. Like, that's the philosophy. Chelsea fans don't really care how we win, just that we win trophies.
I was thinking about this before, and I look at the best Chelsea Premier League teams, and, you know, you look at the early years, we had Cech, John Terry, Makélélé, and that won us a few Premier League titles. Then after that, we moved on to Courtois, Terry, Matic. Then we had Courtois with a back three under Conte and Kante. And ever since Courtois left, we've kind of moved away from having that really strong spine of the team. And yeah, that's why we've been nowhere near the Premier League title since Courtois left.
Within 12 months, we lost John Terry, Diego Costa, Matic and Courtois.
Yeah.
And that's basically a spine, right? And they all went. We still had Kante and he won us the Champions League with Tuchel. But that's right. It's not been the same since. But my man Louis is here and he's been at the game.
Hello, gents.
We're going to get his views on the game.
Welcome, Louis.
And then we're going to get his views on this topic that we're talking about with Maresca. So first, Louis, your views of the game.
I've struggled to sleep for the past 3 days. And I'm not going to lie, I was very close to nodding off today. Very much a case of job done. But again, an opportunity missed where I feel Chelsea could have really maybe built on some confidence. You know, this Leicester team haven't really been taking people on. They've been getting spanked left, right and centre all of the time. It's stuff like that where you think, well, in that situation, how are they going to deal with it? And again, I just thought we were slow, lethargic. I thought it was, again, overly methodical. We won, which I think is the bottom line. You know, I was with my mate today and he made a very good point of at this time of the season, you know, March, April time, you've just got to be winning games. It doesn't matter how you do it. You just have to get the job done. And that's exactly what we did, I guess. So, you know, for me, it's just a case of I just want to see a little bit more energy, a little bit more like nuance in how we play our game. I just feel that everything we do is really easy to predict. And granted, mm-hmm. in the situation that we're in where, you know, a lot of the players in that squad, you know, that we would rely on aren't available. And obviously Nicholas Jackson being the big main one, you know, I do think that, you know, we should maybe look at having that plan B. I think Moresti, I get you want to play your style, but, you know, I'd like to see maybe with the players you have, look, a ball over the top for Pedro Neto. No, Christopher Nkunku to get him behind. You know, we've got players with pace in that front line where we don't really get to use their main assets purely because we're so set in this slow, lethargic build-up. And it's something where it's like, granted, we won. But if it wasn't for Kukurea just thinking, you know what, I'm just going to shoot, it'd have been a 0-0 draw. You know, because the rest of the time, it was trying to carve out the perfect opportunity. So, I mean, that is what I'm disappointed in. But other than that...
I'm interested to see, what was the feeling in the ground about the penalties that weren't given?
Saul, can I do you a massive favour? Can I speak to you again in 2 minutes? I've just bumped into someone I've not seen for 10 years.
Okay. All right.
I'll see you in the next 3 minutes.
We've got a request anyway, so that's really good. Izabe, I hope I pronounced that correctly. Good to have you here. Just unmute yourself and let us know your thoughts on the game, on Maresca. We'd love to hear from you. Going once. Just unmute yourself. We had this problem against Copenhagen. Either way, are you there? Are you coming?
Oh, hello. Sorry. I didn't know it was me. My turn.
Let us know what you think.
Thank you for having me. First off, I think it's important that we celebrate these 3 points because they're never guaranteed. But in all reality, it was not a great performance. I didn't think that the style of play really suits the players. I mean, I feel like when your best attacker is Kukurea, not just this game, but several games over the span of a few weeks or a few months, then something's wrong, because I really like Kukurea. I think he's a really good player, but he shouldn't be our biggest attacking threat. I know we have a lot of injuries, but that shouldn't really be an excuse. I'm looking at Maresca. I know he's been, you know, very vocal in the press about how he wants to play, of who plays where and what we're going to do. But he needs to adapt his style of play to have either a backup plan, a plan B, because when plan A is not working, we shouldn't just keep trying plan A for 90 minutes. But like I said before, happy for 3 points, but with a performance like that, we're not going to be Arsenal. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Really appreciate you coming up. You're right. I mean, Arsenal's going to be a different kettle of fish, isn't it? It's... I don't even know. I can't even predict that game because, you know, we could suddenly turn up and play really well and win, or Arsenal could absolutely destroy us. We've kept 2 clean sheets on the trot. That's a good thing for confidence for the centre-backs. And we've got Wesley Fofana back, which is a positive. But if Robert Sanchez is starting against Arsenal, I'm just going to be, you know, I'm not going to be confident about that game. Ramos, what did you think of what Izabe said?
I agree, I think against Arsenal we're going to have to raise our game a huge amount. If we play like we did today, I think we could be in for a real painful afternoon.
I mean, we've got Copenhagen at home before that, which really should be a win again, but Louis's back. Right, so where were you, Louis?
I'm so sorry. That was like one of my best friends from school who I've not seen since I was 15. So really? I was like, oh my God, I've got to see him. He's at uni in Coventry, and I was like, right, my profession dissipated, so I'm very sorry about that. But I saw him and I was like, oh my God.
We forgive you. What about the penalties?
Penalties.
Were they penalties?
A couple of them definitely were. But I think that the one early doors definitely was. Cole Palmer's one definitely was. But aside from that, I mean, a lot of them I was looking at when people were screaming, I was going, not so sure about that, lads. It's not one which I looked at and I was like, yes, that's clearly a penalty, because a lot of the time, not gonna lie, it really wasn't. So, yeah, I mean, look, for me, it's very much a case of, you know, aside from one or two, we probably should have got, none of them really were. But I mean, look, it's job done, isn't it? That's all it is really today.
Yeah, absolutely right. And we're getting on to talking about Enzo Maresca and also just about what into your mind makes a good Chelsea manager. What is the kind of manager that suits us? So, and we've already heard from Ramwood about what he thinks, what he wants in a Chelsea manager. What do you want in a Chelsea manager?
I like some fire. I think, like we've said so many times when we talk about Chelsea are the antithesis of how you're supposed to play football. We are always, it was always the villain arc, wasn't it, with the Chelsea? And I think they become too nice almost. And I think for me, it's the style of play as well. The football just needs to be, it just needs to be aggressive. It needs to be front-footed. That's when Chelsea are at their best. And I just look at this thumb. I mean, at the minute, I'm just watching Chelsea play and I go, this is boring. Now, when I spoke to West Ham fans last season about David Moyes, for example, I was like, you're winning games. What are you worried about? Why are you so worried about what's going on? Football's just rubbish. It's not very exciting. You know, in their case, yes, they need to get results. That's West Ham Football Club, right? And granted, Chelsea also needs to get results. But, you know, I just want to see a style of football which is exciting. And I know that's completely subjective, right? I might enjoy football that's very different to you, Score or Rambles. But I don't like the way we're playing our football. I get that it takes time to build things up, but I just think this is just not... I'm not going to say this isn't Chelsea, because that's ridiculous. It's a stupid statement to make. But it's just not something which I watch and I go, yeah, I'd... If I could, I would choose to watch that every week, because I wouldn't.
Yeah, I understand that. I kind of feel the same. I mean, my favourite style of football is really the, you know, high intensity, high paced, aggressive, physical, powerful, you know, bums off seats kind of football. You know, I loved watching Klopp's Liverpool. Great football, high pace, lots of energy, high press, really, really attacking, lots of goals. You know, really enjoyable to watch, right? I love that. Tuchel. I love Tuchel. I love Frank Lampard's style of play. I liked, and even Conte in his first season, that football was great to watch.
You see, with all those styles of football, there was an element of, we'll hold on to the ball, we'll be intelligent with it. But we had that energy and I said, right, we need to go along. Lump it, boys. Just go for it. And there was aggression to it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not just one tactic. It's like, we'll try different things. If one thing doesn't work, we'll have something else to do, right? Whereas at the moment, it's like, we're just going to keep doing the same thing until we score.
But I think under Conte, we had a strong spine. Now our spine is just so weak.
Yeah, $1 billion spent and we've not got a spine. Good that, innit? Great work. Haven't got an elite world-class striker. Haven't got a top goalkeeper. Haven't got a proven centre-back. Top centre back, you know, how does that happen? You know, it's ridiculous. Yeah, you're right about that. And, I mean, we've not competed for the title since they all left. So it's not a coincidence, is it? And that's like 8 years now. You know, we've not competed for the title. The other thing I wanted to talk about with managers is about, you know, this kind of hire and fire culture that Chelsea have had. Well, quite frankly, we've had it for about 40 years because the longest serving manager in the last 40 years is John Neal. You know, the last manager to do four seasons at Chelsea was John Neal in the 1980s. And the longest serving manager since then, Mourinho, the first time, which was three and a bit seasons. Ranieri, which is three, nearly four seasons, but not quite four seasons. And I think that's it, isn't it? I think Glenn Hoddle, 3 years as well. That's it. Every other manager's lasted an average of 20 months. And my personal view on this is that the hire and fire culture doesn't work in football anymore. You can't build long-term success, sustained success, if you sack your manager every 18 months or 12 months, right? You've got to give it at least 3 years with the manager to build something, I mean, look at all the clubs that are winning things, that are doing well, have had their managers for a long time, right? Or their last manager for a long time, anyway, at Liverpool. 9 years, they had Klopp, right? So football, even Real Madrid have got stability at a manager level now, which is unheard of. That's my perspective on it. But at the same time, I don't think you should just stick with the manager for the sake of it, right? Not you keep the manager if they're the right manager. That's my perspective on it. I'd love to hear your perspective on it. Ram, will you start?
I was also going to use another example. Watford went through a period where they were probably even worse than Chelsea are in firing managers.
Much worse than us, yeah.
And you know, it's not working for them currently, you know, because they were in the Premier League or they'd come back up straight away, but they've been in the Championship a good few years now. As far as, I think if we don't get top four, I think it's going to be very difficult. If we don't get top four /5, which gets Champions League football, or win the Conference League, I think it's going to be very difficult for Maresca to stay on, because I think pressure is starting to build from a lot of fans, because they aren't enjoying the football they're watching. But I think if Enzo Maresca does get top four /5 and does win the Conference League, then yeah, he definitely deserves to be here next season. But pressure is starting to mount, because there's a lot of fans who just really aren't enjoying what they're seeing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, do you believe that it's better to have stability at management level, or are you willing to change regularly if it means Chelsea keep winning?
I've said for many years now, long before new owners came in, I would like to see a Chelsea manager stay for a good period of time, and I would like to see that manager work with the sporting director above him, and they can build together, plan together, because I think that's our best chance of having success.
Yeah.
You know, a manager who works with a sporting director, right? This is the type of player I want. Okay, I'll go and get you that player. Right, these are the players we can bring in. Because I think this hiring and firing doesn't work anymore. It's fairly obvious, you know, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City have been the three best teams in the last few years, and they've all had stability from the top down.
Yeah, and they've had a healthy structure. I mean, obviously, I think we all agree the sporting directors need to change. And I think the model needs to change a bit to add a bit more experience. And I think the other thing that needs to change about the model is the manager having a bit more influence and not being told who to pick and not just having the squad given to him, but actually having some input and having some authority. Not to make all the decisions, all the final decisions, but to be involved in that conversation in a constructive way. Yeah, that's right. So, Louis, what are your thoughts on this kind of managerial culture that we've had at Chelsea?
Look, I haven't agreed with it in a lot of instances. I think you look at Mourinho's first stint, you look at Ancelotti, Thomas Tuchel. You know, I think there's three managers there, which I think pretty much summarise a great case of why you should keep a manager, because the quality that's available in the market isn't that great, especially at the elite level. And this ownership had the opportunity to do that, but they chose not to because, well, whatever reason they chose not to be honest. Look, if the manager's right and the structure's right, absolutely, you know, you should keep the manager. You should, you know, make sure that things can grow and give it time. But the structure currently isn't right. I'm not saying Maresca is the biggest issue, because he isn't.
I think
there's more issues. There are bigger issues to look at. And look, we've spoken about it so many times, it's actually redundant to bring it up purely because we all know what we're going to say.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of a case of, like, for me, the longer that Chelsea continue to sort of keep going the way they are, the more the reality is going to hit, but they're going to struggle. So, look, for me, it's very much a case of we just have to make sure that Chelsea make the right decisions at the right times. And then from there, you know, we can actually see some growth. But right now, look, I don't think there is a clear harmony between fans and between the club. I think there's a complete misunderstanding of the culture that's been there for 20 plus years, 40 years, you mentioned, with the different managers, right? And when I say that, by the way, I'm not like, I am very much someone who understands change and understands that change is needed sometimes, right? But there's always, in my case, I'd like to when you do things like that, there's always a case of respect for what has been. There is no respect for what's been at Chelsea Football Club. They say they do because they put it in all their marketing campaigns, but that's all it is. It's just marketing for them. There's no respect to what's been at Chelsea. And I do think that they're going, well, this is what we want to do. It's just going to take time to deal with it. It's like, well, that's all well and good, but you're moaning about the atmosphere. You're moaning about fans not getting behind the team. The fans aren't getting behind the team because they're not enjoying what they're seeing. It's not a culture they're used to. And no one has come out of the club to speak to the fans. It's all well and good doing it at conferences and going to Bloomberg and all of that stuff. But yeah, no one's actually stepped into a forum with fans that isn't sort of closed off to lay it out there. And that's something which I think they could do better. But look, right now, this is in me no way saying get rid of Enzo Maresca. I wouldn't be just saying that's ridiculous. But there has to be, as we were saying earlier, adaptations in how he does things.
Yes, I think that's a fair point. What does that look like for you? What do those adaptations look like practically speaking?
I mean, sporting directors for a start, I think need to definitely adapt how they do things. I agree with you, the manager needs to have more of a say in how they do things. He needs a plan B. You know, when he's saying, I'll fine you if you play the ball long. Do you know what, Enzo? Sometimes you've got to play the ball long. That's football. You can't always play it out, especially sometimes with the quality that you've got. All due respect to Tosin Adebayo, don't think he's good enough to play football out of the back like that, how he want to play. Levi Colwell, I don't think he's going to have the growth that he needs because he doesn't have that senior figure next to him. So, you know, there's definitely things where I think the manager should have more of a say in how things are done. But it's all well and good saying we should have those adaptions. The reality is right now, I don't think they will.
Yeah. But again, we're talking hypotheticals, aren't we? Good stuff, Louis. Good stuff.
I'll see you later. Take care.
Cheers, Louis.
Yeah, take care, Louis.
Thanks, Louis. Speaking of Louis, there will be a voice note review available on all podcast platforms very shortly from Louis. A little 3-minute review of the game. Louis's always got a unique way of communicating things. It's well worth listening to. That'll be out later today on all podcast platforms. So make sure you check that out.
I was just going to pick up on something Louis said.
Oh, yes, what was it you wanted to say?
And obviously, you know, I don't think you can give managers full control, but, you know, a manager should be able to have a degree of say in what he needs for the team. Well, so, you know, if Moresti goes to the sporting director, say, look, we've got Colwell, who's a great young defender, but we need someone experienced next to him, or at least more experience, then I think the sporting director would be like, okay, you know, we are going to bend the rules slightly, or tweak the model slightly to bring you in those one or two experienced players you need.
I mean, one thing that I have that has been, I think that's been out in the media actually, is that Enzo Maresca is a fan of Liam Delap. Worked with him before.
Yeah.
I think he would like him to come to the club. And to be fair to Chelsea, we are looking at him. So, and apparently he's also a fan of Mark Guhey as well at Crystal Palace, who again we've been linked with. So, you know, if that is the case, and that he is a fan of those players, and we're looking at bringing them in, that's good, because it means we're actually back in the manager's judgment. You're right, I absolutely agree. I think you, Louis, and I all agree on this. The manager should have more influence. Not the final say all the time, but certainly have an influence on the profile of players that you sign, and the quality as well, the level of players that you sign. Absolutely right, yeah. Now this brings us to our third topic. Now, and this goes on to some comments from John Terry recently. There's a couple of things that John Terry has been saying in the last week or two. The first thing was that he was talking about Chelsea's prospects this season. He was talking about how top four should be the absolute minimum for Chelsea. Not, that's our goal, that's our ambition. Like, that should be the bare minimum for Chelsea every season. And then he came out with some comments the other day about the Club World Cup, and basically saying that this is a competition that we should be looking to win. And Chelsea are about winning, and we should be winning that trophy, and we should be looking to win that trophy. It's an opportunity to win the trophy. We're happy to be there. You know, hopefully we have a good run. No, it's all about we want to win. We want to win that trophy. That's the expectation, right? And it just made me think about the mentality at the club right now, that we, and the culture at the club in terms of the winning culture. Like, because I don't see it at the moment. And, you know, when John Terry speaks about those things and he speaks in that way, it is in a bit of a contrast to how sometimes we hear even Maresca speak, right? It's not, I mean, I'm not saying that Maresca's a loser, absolutely not. I'm not saying he doesn't want to win. I'm sure he does want to win trophies. But it's just that kind of the way it's communicated and the way that John Terry talks about it, as opposed to sometimes the way that we hear it from the club. And I just wanted to talk about that. Like, have we, like, the first question really is that I wanted to ask, have we lost that winning culture as a club or not? And what do you, Bramwell, I want to get your thoughts on this.
I think we probably have a little bit. I mean, we aren't the Chelsea we were X amount of years ago, but I think I would have liked Maresca, you know, to come out with an open attitude at times. You know, I can remember going back to December time when we were, at the time, we were in a title race. And I think he could have handled the questions differently. I think he, instead of saying, no, we're not in a title race, or this, he could have said, you know, we just want to win. It's a game at a time. We want to win every single game. And I think had he approached the questions differently and answered them in a different way, I think he would have got more fans on board. But I think the way he made a point of drumming it at home, it did come across negatively. And I don't think it was quite meant the way, I think he was trying to make it, we're just not ready, but it did come across negatively. And he did say it quite a few times.
Mm.
Whereas had he said, we want to win every game, but we're just going to take it a game at a time, I think that's a fair thing to say. And okay. And I think that would have got the fans on side.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you just said, like, we're Chelsea Football Club, we want to win every game that we play. And so we want to keep on winning games, and then we'll see where we are come like March and April. You know, but we just want to keep winning games. And if he says that, he's not saying that we're in the title race, but he's not saying that we're not, right? He's saying we want to just keep winning games. And that's what I would have said, you know, like, just that's it. The mentality is you want to win every football game that we play, and we're going to keep trying to do that till the end of the season. And if we're in the title, and if we're in the race for the title come April, May, then we'll see then what, where we are. But as for now, we just want to keep winning every game that we play. That's it. That's all you have to say.
I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been the Mirror's Darren Lewis, but it was one journalist, and he was of the opinion that Maresca's comments could have impacted the form. Because, you know, when he said that, that's when we saw a downturn in our form.
Yeah.
And someone said, you know, was that, did that play an impact? Did that play a part?
I mean, I don't think consciously it played a part, but I think subconsciously those things can seep in for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that was just a bit of inexperience from Maresca, actually. He wasn't sure how to deal with that pressure. Because, you know, in reality, we weren't ready to challenge for the title this season.
No.
And we knew that. But there's a way that it's how you communicate is really, really important, you know, to players, to fans, everything. And that comes into that topic that we talked about before with the manager, that, you know, the manager's got to communicate to the fans that, yeah, I want to win. I want to win every game. I want to win every trophy that I can. I'm going to be disappointed if we don't win a trophy. You know, those comments we went out of the FA Cup, you know, now we can focus on the league and all that. Like, I didn't like that. That's not what a Chelsea manager should say. You know, you should say, like, I'm gutted we're out of the cup. We wanted to win the cup. We're really disappointed, but we're going to focus on the making sure that we win the Conference League and get into the Champions League kind of thing. That's it. It's just little things like that, which just a slight shift in emphasis. In that, like, yeah, we do want to win every trophy. We want to win every game. And that's got to be what Chelsea are about, right? And that's what John Terry's comments are about. Like, he wanted to win every game of football that he played without fail. And if he didn't win, he hated it. He got angry. We didn't win, even if we just drew a game, he still didn't like it, right? Because he's a winner. And, like, he's got that mentality of, you know, we want to win everything. We want to win every trophy that we're in. We want to win every game that we play. And actually, that's a question that I wanted to ask. Like, and this is, this has been a question that's been asked a lot in the last few years. Like, should we be trying to find a role with John Terry in the first team? Like, as a coach, you know, or as a, just as part of the backroom staff, you know, He doesn't want to be a manager anymore, so that's not an issue. He's not going to try and undermine the manager. You know, he just wants Chelsea to win. So like, is there a role that we should be looking to find for John Terry?
I would like to see John Terry involved in a first team setup in some way. You know, I do think we need one or two players from the golden generation. I would like to see one or two players from the golden generation involved in within the team and within the club in some way, shape or form.
Yeah, I mean, I've been an advocate of, why not bring Peter Cech back in that Ben Roberts role, right? Head of global goalkeeping, Peter Cech. It's a whole different ballgame then, isn't it?
One thing I do always say, though, I do hear a lot of fans who say, oh, you know, we should bring this player back, we should bring Drogba back, Terry Black, Lampard back, Cech back.
Yeah.
And where I kind of disagree with that is sometimes, you know, you can't bring all those players back, you know, because there'll be a clash of personalities, but you've got to bring one or two of the right players back in the right roles.
Absolutely agree. 100%. I think, yeah, I mean, I don't know what role you could have for John Terry, but I'm certain that he could have an influence on, you know, rebuilding that winning culture and setting those standards again and remind you of what it means to play for Chelsea, you know, 100%.
One club I've always admired, Ajax, over the years, have always had legends involved within the club in some aspect. You know, they've had Edwin van der Sar and Overmars. I think they were sporting directors for quite a few years.
Yes, that's right. That's it. There's AC Milan are the same, or certainly they used to be, until the current owners came in. Then
they've got Ibrahimovic involved in something.
Yeah, that's right. Ibrahimovic. Yeah, exactly. He's involved with the club right now, isn't he? Yeah. And they had Paolo Maldini before, and Carlo Ancelotti was an ex-player, right? Who became their manager, right? So they've got that. I mean, AC Milan are one of my favourite clubs and one of the reasons is that they have that kind of dynastic culture where they bring in former players, legends, winners, into the club and get them involved in the running of the club. And that helps continue that club culture that they've got, and that connection with the history. And so the players know. The players know what the culture is. They know the history of the club. They know what the expectations are at the club. You know, because they've got people there who've been there and done it, and know what it means. And that's, I think we need that at Chelsea desperately. Whatever happens with the manager, I think that needs to happen in the summer.
I think John Terry could play a big role in between the academy and the first team, because obviously he's a player who's made the step up from academy to first team to captain. So he could kind of like be that bridge between the two.
Yeah, I mean, you could have him as someone who could create pathways for academy players, right? And be a link between the academy and the first team squad. You know, that absolutely, yeah, 100%. And I know that he's had a positive impact on the academy. He's a consultant with the academy at the moment, and he's doing a really good job. You know, I mean, the academy's doing really well at the moment. We're winning a lot of games. We've got some good players, and they're understanding what Chelsea is about because he's there, right? And he's drilling it into them.
I mean, another player I'd like to see involved within the coaching setup in some form would be Ashley Cole. I know he was involved in England under 21 setup, and I've got a feeling he might be involved in the England
setup. He is, I think he is now, yeah, he is.
But he was someone I would love to see back at the club because he came from Arsenal, and at the time he came from Arsenal, he obviously joined, he was there for the Invincible era, yeah. And you know, he was involved in Arsenal at their very best.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a winner. He's an absolute winner, Ashley Cole. I mean, you see that interview when we won the Champions League, right? I mean, that is just a winner, right? Yeah, like basically just totally said, like, yeah, I've won it all now. This is why I came here. Absolutely ruthless. Like, you know, I came here to win. We won. This is why I came here. No one can say anything kind of thing. Yeah, absolutely. He's a winner. And he's Chelsea now, really, like more than
Arsenal. He is Chelsea through and through now.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I mean, that's another one. Absolutely agree.
And another name I've put out there who we've missed massively since he left, and it doesn't get mentioned much, is Steve Holland. When he left to join the England setup, I think that's when we saw a big drop off.
Yeah, he's such a good coach, Steve Holland.
Yeah, he's brilliant coach.
He's a product of the Chelsea coaching, you know, production line kind of thing. He was the assistant under quite a few managers, I think.
He was, yeah.
And then he left to go and be with England and Gareth Southgate. But as long as he doesn't bring Southgate with him, I would like, yeah, I mean, he's great. So yeah, and he's another one. You know, there's a lot of different people who you could bring back. It's got to be in the right position. It's got to be in the right roles. It's got to work strategically. But yeah, I think, I mean, this club, we need better connection with our history. We need better connection with what Chelsea is about. The players need to know that. The players need people around them to kind of indoctrinate them into that. Like Thiago Silva did that to a certain extent when he was here, but he's gone now. And Azpilicueta did as well. I mean, when Azpilicueta retires, we should absolutely get him back here in some role. You know, I mean, he could be like a technical director or something like that. 100%. He's very smart. He could absolutely do some kind of director role. He gets the club. He gets the culture. Yeah. But he's still playing, but when he retires, he's somebody we should be getting back here. 100%. Same with Thiago Silva. Once he retires, we need them back here.
Yeah, desperately.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an interesting thing, like, because, you know, the mentality of the club comes from the top. It comes from the owners and the sporting directors, ultimately. And then, obviously, a manager is a reflection of that. And so we need to get that back. We need to get that feeling of, like, what it is to be Chelsea and the standards that Chelsea have, right? And that needs to be embedded into the players. It needs to be with the manager. It needs to be through the club. We have it on the women's side. We have it on the women's side, 100%. We need it back on the men's side. And I think those John Terry comments that came out this week kind of highlighted that little shift. And it's not like it's beyond repair. It's not. And we could win a trophy this season, and that would help a lot. Actually, winning a trophy would make a big difference to the mentality, because I think once young players actually win a trophy, then that makes them want to win more. Once you've won one thing, you want to win more. That's it. That's why Mourinho prioritised the League Cup in his first season. He didn't want their first trophy to be the Premier League. He wanted them to win the League Cup and get a taste of winning trophies. And a lot of them have said that once they got the taste with that trophy, they wanted to win everything, right? So winning the Conference League could be a really positive thing for this set of players. It would be like, oh, this is what it's like to win a trophy. I like this. I want more of this. Right. You know, because winning can become a good habit. It can become addictive almost. Like once you've done it once, you want to keep doing it. And you know, so that's why that Conference League, yeah, it's not the biggest trophy, but it's important.
Pep always did the same, though. He went out there to win the League Cup / Carabao Cup. Yeah. That would give them confidence going into the second half of the season and to go and deliver that title.
That's it, yeah, because every trophy matters, right? Every trophy is important, and Pep knows that, right? Yeah, absolutely understood that as well, you're right.
I just want to pick up on something Maresca's just said, obviously, in the pre-match interview / press conference.
Oh, yeah, I haven't heard that yet, yeah.
Enzo Maresca and Palmer missing the penalty. Cole didn't feel well during the night. People need to understand the effort he made to be there. He's a top player, everything is normal now.
Yeah, I mean, didn't he go off to get a drink or something during the game?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And we know that Reece James was ill and missed the game. He wasn't injured, he was just ill. It may be that Cole Palmer had something similar and decided to play anyway. And if he did, fair play to him. Fair play to him for playing anyway. That takes a lot of character. Yeah, hopefully he'll be rested for Thursday. We shouldn't need him against Copenhagen at home. And then keep him fresh for Arsenal next week. But if he's not well, I hope he gets well soon. That's definitely an interesting thing. But yeah, okay, thanks for sharing that. This has been a really good episode again. Some really, really good thoughts from... Oh, we've got somebody requesting. Am I going to bring them up? Yeah, okay, let's bring them up. Memo. And this will be the last call. So Memo, what are your thoughts on what we've been talking about today? Just unmute yourself and we'd love to hear from you. No. Going once. Going twice. Going three times. Okay. Right. Memo's. Memo's clearly not coming. So, Dano. Let's pitch Dano up. Right. So yeah, unmute yourself. Just 30 seconds on some of the things that we've been talking about, Dano. Just unmute yourself. You can talk now.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, buddy.
Oh. Hey, thanks for bringing me up. Yeah, no, I just got here, so I didn't really know what you guys were talking about before, but I was just going to give my thoughts on the match.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, again, I think I really had the same exact feeling that I had after Southampton at this stage of the season. Again, 3 points is 3 points, so we have to have somewhat of a smile on our face for 3 points, but... Again, it's one of those things where the performance definitely did not match the score, to be honest. I just think, like, as we progress, we play Arsenal, we play other teams that aren't relegation fodder. This type of performance is not going to, it's not going to slide at all, to be honest. It's not going to slide. I'm not saying every game has to be, like, you know, champagne football, whatever, especially against these low block teams, right? Sometimes... I'm actually happy Cucurella, like, you know, he kind of used his brain that, you know, these low block teams, we're not going to be able to kind of dribble in the final third. Like, we have to take shots outside the box in these low box teams. So I was happy with that. But again, teams that are not relegation fodder, like Southampton and Leicester, I just think the performance has to be much better. Shout out to two players. Shout out to, again, Cucurella, not even for the goal, but just... This is one guy where I think he's, the past year, he's just resembled what proper Chelsea means. Just the passion he has. And again, take away the goal, whatever it is. I just think him himself, he just really represents what this club means. And then another player, Neto, again, wasn't the best, I guess, technical performance from him, but I don't know if you guys saw, after he busted his head, started bleeding, that guy came back and he started pressing like a mad dog, where eventually he caused a mistake from Leicester. And this is a type of, you know, I feel like with Chelsea fans, you know, when the crowd is booing, it's okay, but like, I don't think they're booing necessarily because of the performance, but it's a lack of effort of some players. Like, I'm looking at Nkunku, I'm like, what does Nkunku bring to this 11? What does this player bring? He doesn't bring effort. He doesn't bring the so-called technical finishing ability that we were promised, you know. So it's just shout out to those two players for just representing the badge, to be honest. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Thank you, Dano. I appreciate that. And just, you know, what are your thoughts on those comments, Rambles?
Yeah, I do agree with a lot of what I said. Now, I sometimes think fans do boo, especially. I don't want to single out players, but within Nkunku, people feel he's not really in 100% effort, which I can kind of understand. I think the Nkunku situation from the sporting directors was handled incredibly, incredibly badly. And I don't think anyone's benefiting from him still being at the football club. He clearly doesn't want to be here. You know, he's not working in the current setup, and the whole Nkunku situation for me is just a big mess, and it should never have been allowed to get to this stage.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's one of many things which has been handled badly, I think, by the sporting directors, 100%.
And it's got to be a situation moving forward we don't get into again, because for quite a few windows now, we've ended up with players still being at the club who don't want to be here because we haven't been able to find a move, or we've priced them out of a move.
That's right, yeah, you're right, absolutely. We need to make sure that, yeah, if we want players out, that we're willing to accept, you know, well, not stupid fees for them.
And I do feel a bit sorry because he's not a striker. He is better at playing off a striker. And because Cole Palmer's been so good, he hasn't been given the opportunity to play in that position.
Yeah.
And we have got injuries. He's coming into the team in an unnatural position. So I just think the whole thing is just very, very unfortunate for him.
Yeah, man, I think he will leave in the summer, 100%. So thanks, Dano, and thanks, Rambles. So just some final thoughts. It's been a really good call again. Some interesting conversations about Maresca. the management of the club, and also about the mentality of the club. Really interesting conversations today. Thanks to everyone involved. Thanks to Louis, Rambles, Dano, everyone who's come up. Really appreciate it. And do make sure you catch the voice note review on all podcast platforms. That will be out today. This show will be available on all podcast platforms tomorrow. Give the Chelsea Echo account a follow as well. A really great account, great content. Make sure you give Rambles and me and Louis a follow as well on the Chelsea Echo. All fantastic stuff. So, yeah, just final thoughts, Rambles, on today's game.
I think relief more than anything, but really wasn't a good watch. And, you know, heading into the Arsenal game, we're going to have to be much, much better. And hopefully Sanchez does not start in goal. And second thing, I want to see a proper right back starting a right back.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. Yeah. It's good to get the, 3 points. It's good to get successive clean sheets in the league. It's good to be in fourth again and have a bit of a distance. But we've got to start playing better because we're playing Arsenal next in the league, and we've got to perform in that game or we'll get obliterated. So yeah, thank you. Thanks, Rambles. And we'll be back after the Copenhagen game on Thursday and then, after the Arsenal game next weekend. So thanks everyone for listening, and up at the shelf.